Hello, friends. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. We're grateful and privileged to be able to come to your place of listening today on this Wednesday, September the 16th, and I hope that you're looking forward to gathering together in the house of the Lord tonight with the saints. We're looking forward to that. We'll have regular prayer meeting time tonight, and then looking forward to gathering around the altar and praying, and then also singing some songs of Zion with the congregation, perhaps listen to a special, and then enjoying a message from the Word of God. Hope you'll be a part of the services. If you don't have somewhere normally that you would attend, or you're not in the place that you would normally attend, then we'd like to welcome you and invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We're located at 1415 Island Ford Road, and our services will start at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you come and be a part of those services. We're just a country church here in the town of Madisonville, and we're grateful to the Lord for His blessings and goodness unto us. We're an old-fashioned King James Bible preaching, Bible-believing church. Amen. And love to have you come and be a part of our fellowship and our services tonight. Again, that'll be at 7 o'clock, and we'd love to have you come and be with us in that. Also, if you would, be in prayer for us in the days coming. I'm leaving after the service tonight. I'm going to be driving throughout or into the night. We're going to stop and get a motel room and then drive Thursday. I've got to start a meeting Thursday afternoon or actually Thursday evening, and I'm supposed to be there in time for supper and then service after supper. And then we'll be having services Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning. We'll be leaving, coming back after lunch on Saturday, coming back to Island Ford. I'll be there in Fishersville, Virginia this weekend meeting. If you would pray for us that God would bless the meeting and help it and use it for His glory and honor, that it might be a success for His glory and for His honor. It might be a help to the church there at Fishersville. Also, we know of special services going on starting tonight over at the Sturgis Baptist Church. They're having their missions conference. Dr. John O'Malley preaching there each night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then again on Sunday morning, each night this week at 7 o'clock. If you can back them up over there at the Sturgis Baptist Church, I'm sure the members and the pastor, Brother Joey Durham, will make you welcome. And they'd be glad to have you. We'd be glad to recommend you to go over there and join with them in their services. Also, this Friday night on the 18th, Brother Jimmy Moyes, he's a church planting missionary. We support him here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. He started a church down in Burns, Tennessee, and they're celebrating their fourth anniversary. And so they're having special services on this Friday night. Again, that's at 7 o'clock, I believe. And then on Saturday morning at 10:30, they're going to be having special services, calling preachers from the floor, and just a good time of fellowship and worship there at the Gospel Baptist Church in Burns, Tennessee. So make those notes and remember them. We're going to be praying for them in just a moment. Also, I do have a special request of prayer. I've been mentioning for some time about my friend, Brother Kevin Franklin, that's a pastor in Great Bend, Kansas. Brother Franklin been suffering for several months since April, thinking that he had kidney stones. And when they finally found and diagnosed the actual thing, it's bladder cancer. And it has been worse than they anticipated. They were going to go in and shave it and then do a chemo wash, but they couldn't get all the cancer with just shaving that bladder. And so now they're looking at chemo, starting his chemo, supposed to start it on the 24th, which will be next week. And that'll be a week from tomorrow, actually. But I found out just yesterday that he started bleeding again through his kidneys. And any time that there's blood in the system like that, they will not do that chemo. So pray for him that they'll be able to get the bleeding stopped. And if possible, be able to start his chemo as soon as possible, that he'll be able to have the treatments that he needs. Then they're going to go in and take the bladder out once they've treated it with chemo and hopefully deadened anything that might be active and might be loosened when they release that bladder. All right, so pray for Brother Kevin Franklin, pastors of First Bible Baptist Church in Great Bend, Kansas. Pray that God bless and touch and help him at this time. All right, then we have needs here in the church. We've got folks that have been sick and hurting and problems there. We want to pray for them. Brother and Sister Hall are out traveling, visiting their son over in Missouri. We're glad for that. Want to pray for them that God give them strength and bless them and good health while they're visiting. They'd have a good time and God would be pleased and glorified and just touch them and help them and bring them back safely also as well. Amen. So be in prayer about these special upcoming services. Now, I will be here on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And so if you can't come tonight, we'd love to have you come on the Lord's Day on the 20th and be with us. We'd try our best to make you welcome here at the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Again, we're located at 1415 Island Ford Road. All right. If you would, go with us to the Lord in prayer as we pray about these needs and these burdens. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the prayers you've answered in the past. I know I can't remember them all, but I can look back and see a number of things that I've asked you for and you've done. And you've not only done what I've asked, but you've exceeding abundantly above all that I've ever asked or thought. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness and, Lord, how powerful and mighty that you are. I do have a special unspoken request, Lord, that you know about, a situation that we're praying about, that you would intervene and help there in accordance with thy will, and thy work be done, thy will be done in this matter. Father, I do pray for Brother Kevin Franklin. You touch his body. I know his body's in your hands. You made his body. You're in control of the body. And I pray, dear Lord, you touch him and help him and meet the needs there. Father, then I pray that you might guide and direct and help in these upcoming services. Our service tonight, bless it here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. The special services over at Sturgis Baptist Church this week. I pray you'd bless and be with them in those meetings. And then also the meeting over at Gospel Baptist Church in Burns, Tennessee. You'd bless that special meeting and use it, dear God, for your glory. And then the meeting I'll be preaching there in Fishersville, Virginia on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I pray, dear God, that you would move in that, do a great work, and get the glory. Help us, dear God, to be strengthened as well as be a strength and a help to others. And Lord, you get the glory. I pray, Lord, use this broadcast now. Let the good seed fall on some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to be looking in the Bible now at Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to be reading the first 7 verses. We've been reading the first 6 verses for a while. We're going to go through verse 7 today. And while you're looking for your place, we'll listen to this song by our family and then be right back with the reading of the scripture. Well, amen. I hope that song was a blessing to you. And I am glad that there'll be somebody there when it's my time to make the crossing of the river, as they say, when it's my time to die, to pull out from this world into that better world. I'm glad there'll be somebody there waiting for me. Amen. And amen. All right, if you found your place, Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.'" Now look at verse 7. "Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.'" What I'd like to point out today is in verse number 6, this is the devil speaking to the Lord. Now, it's not unusual that the devil would question the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ, would question the word of God. See, God had just previously spoken in the chapter right before this, in Matthew chapter number 3, God had just previously spoken and said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But now Satan is questioning that in verse number 6. He had questioned it previously, and questions it again now in verse number 6, and it's not unusual that he might would do that. But I want you to notice something that I think is unusual, or at least is unique, is that the devil not only questions the sonship of Christ, but he quotes the scriptures to Christ. He said, "It is written." And he goes on to say, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." But when the devil quoted scripture to the Lord did not argue with that scripture, but only added more scripture to give clarification, amen, and context to that scripture. Our Lord said in verse 7, And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, I have mentioned numerous times in the preceding passages of this study that that Satan quoted Psalm 91, verse 11 through 12, but it was actually a misquotation and a misapplication. I'm preaching today on Satan quoting the Bible and Christ's rebuttal to it. Satan's quoting of the Bible and Christ's rebuttal to it. We've discussed the fact that Satan often approaches us as a religious charlatan. Again, I want to say that this is should not necessarily be surprising, because all you got to do is, if you have a television, and I don't advise you do, but if you have a television, you can turn on to the religious broadcasting and you will find some devils in the name of religion. You will find some men and women on there that are obviously working under the power, not of the Holy Spirit, but of unclean spirits, and I believe the power of the devil himself. And they're promoting themselves and promoting their little religious group and promoting their ways. But it's not God's ways, and it's not the truth of the gospel. They're not there to get people saved, although they may say some good things. But they will misquote the scripture and misapply the scripture, just as the devil did. Now, it's not surprising that Satan would approach us as a religious charlatan. He did not shrink from placing his defiled hands and his deceiving tongue upon the Word of God, as long as he thought he could twist it for his perverted purposes. But Christ recognized it and refuted it for what it was. Satan was trying to persuade Christ to tempt God. Now, Christ did not engage Satan about his mishandling or misquoting of the scripture, but he simply rebutted Satan's attempt by bringing forth another quote from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Jesus, this is the scripture he quoted, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah." You may ask, but what is meant by tempting God? Well, quite simply, it is described as, quote, voluntarily to go into danger that God might deliver us. That's what Satan was tempting Christ to do, to voluntarily go into danger, expecting God to deliver him. In other words, it is tempting God when we place ourselves in danger, expecting deliverance or relief, when God has not directed us into that place. You see, we have no right to make an undue or unwarranted trial of God's goodness or his power, for such is to tempt God. In other words, I do not have the right to question the goodness of God. I'm supposed to expect the goodness of God. God is good. But I don't have the right to call that into question and try to make a point that God has to prove himself. That is tempting God. Amen. I don't have the right to question not only God's goodness, but I don't have the right to question his power. He is all-powerful. He can do anything that he wants to do. Amen. It is in God's hand to do anything that he wants to do. I don't have the right to question that power or to put in a place that God's got to prove himself that he is God, because he is God. You might remember how that God showed his power and demonstrated his love towards his people, the people of Israel, by leading them out of bondage down in Egypt, and then providing a way for them through the Red Sea and then through the wilderness. Then at Kadesh Barnea, 10 of the spies of Israel, sent these spies in to spy out the land of Canaan. 10 of them came back questioning whether God could or would enable them to possess that land. There were 12 spies. 2 spies said, we can do it. God, through us, can conquer those giants. We, through God, can conquer the giants. God can give us that land. But 10 of the spies questioned whether or not God could, or whether or not God would enable them to possess the land. And that was tempting God. It led God to say this in Numbers, chapter number 14, verse 22 through 24. He said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto your fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. God said, these 10 men saw my glory in Egypt. They saw the power of God as he worked to deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. By the way, friend, at that time, Egypt was the power center of the world. Egypt was the most powerful dominion, the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. And Egypt had Israel under its thumb, had Israel in bondage. I'm talking about the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, were in bondage to Egyptian bondage for those years and years and generations, until God sent a man called Moses to say, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is God? And more, just to paraphrase it, God showed who he was in Egypt. And so God said, these men of Israel saw my glory in Egypt. They saw the power of God in Egypt. They saw the power of God at the Red Sea when they came to that place that they couldn't go forward and they couldn't go back, had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the Egyptians behind them coming with murder in their minds. Amen. And God said to Moses, tell my people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God told Moses to stretch out that rod over the river or over the sea, and the waters parted. Amen. And then God told them to go forward, and they walked across on dry ground. That was the glory and the power of God. When the Egyptians tried to do the same thing, God took their wagon wheels off. They drove heavily, the Bible said. Amen. And they bogged down there in the Red Sea, and God let the waters fall back down upon them. The walls of water fell upon them. Amen. These men had seen the glory of God in their deliverance from Egypt. They'd seen the glory of God in him providing them a way through the Red Sea. And they'd seen the glory of God in God destroying the army of Pharaoh and the chariots of Pharaoh there as they drowned in the Red Sea. And they saw God give them deliverance when they were thirsty. He gave them water to drink. Amen. He provided for them all the way. And yet they did not trust the power of God. Amen. God said, they're not going to go in and see this land because they don't trust me. But Caleb had a different spirit. Joshua was the other spy, not mentioned in this text, but the other spy that had a different spirit. He believed God, trusted God. Now, here's what I'm saying. There is no doubt, friend, that Satan would love to lead us into such a snare at any time that he might find it available. For his cause, he undoubtedly has committed many of the promises of God to his memory, that he might conveniently use them against us, and to try to entrap us and ensnare us unawares. Amen. Therefore, when some promise of God or some word from God is used to induce us to some daring and dangerous step, we should consider and ask whether this promise or word is actually suited to our case and whether or not we are warranted to claim that promise at this time and under these circumstances. In other words, what I'm actually saying is that we need to try the spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Would you not agree with me that we're living in a day when there's a lot of false spirits? Would you not agree with me today that there are a lot of false prophets in our world today? Many of them are holding a King James Bible. Many of them have on a suit and tie. Many of them attend what they call a church, a religious gathering. And yet, they're false spirits. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the deceiver may approach us with his twisting of the scripture. He may appear to give us a biblical reason or reasons for walking presumptuously into sin. We should answer back, as our Lord did. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Sometimes Satan uses certain passages from the Word of God to try to discolor or besmirch another passage from the Word of God. He will try to twist and turn the Bible around so as to call into question all the truths and all the promises of Scripture. In other words, Satan is a master manipulator. He will do his best to take one Scripture and make it show that another Scripture is false when it is not false. If it's rightly understood, rightly divided, rightly used, all the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, all the Bible's good. There's not one verse that contradicts the other verses in the Scripture if they're properly read, properly used, properly understood in their context. But Satan is a master manipulator. He perverts everything he touches. So beware when the Bible is quoted by the devil. I'm telling you, these religious charlatans that come in and try to say that God is doing things that God said he would not do, that God is allowing things that he said he would not allow, that God is accepting things that he said he would never accept. I'm telling you, they are twisting and perverting the very word of God, and they are as guilty as the devil himself. Amen. Now, let me tell you this. I'm talking about this. Really, I'm still on the thought about presumptuous sin, but I'm caring about how Satan quoted the Bible to try to get Christ to do something that was wrong. He was using a promise in that Scripture that Christ could have claimed. And yet that promise was not for that moment, because that promise was for those that walked in the will of God. And it was not the will of God for Christ to leap off the pinnacle of that temple. Now, friend, let me close by this statement. We can stand upon the promises of God in His Word, but it must be the Word rightly quoted in its proper context and meaning. We can never hope to stand upon the shifting sand of the devil's words, even when they are coached and cloaked with God's words. My friend, this is the thought. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Thank you. May God bless you.